Our streams, creeks, rivers, and lakes were once thought to be independent of water that is found buried in underground geologic formations. Today, in Montana, this perception has changed. Water on the Earth's surface is considered to be connected with underground aquifers, and this new understanding is beginning to play out in how water rights in Montana are handled. Today's segment is part of the series titled, Water is a Many Splendid Thing. Hello, I'm Steve Baker. This is Living Water. Matt Williams was born and raised in Colorado, where he developed a strong interest in water and fly fishing. These interests fueled his desires to start a career as a water rights attorney. Eventually, he moved to Montana, where the best fly fishing is found around every corner. Matt's work as an attorney has revealed to him a discrepancy in the way water rights work in Montana. He noticed the importance in incorporating water rights for surface water with the impacts from groundwater usage.
Montana, as is true of most states now, recognizes that it doesn't make much sense to secure a priority, a first-in-time, first-in-right for surface water flows, if groundwater users can come in and deplete the groundwater resource and in turn deplete surface waters, because it's all one system. So you can go back and look at Montana authorities from early on, and they'll routinely describe a senior water right as having protection against any depletions in the basin. Now, in context, they're referring to appropriations of upper tributaries or any surface water. But the same principle applies to groundwater to the extent its withdrawal or use would otherwise affect the stream flow. And that's exactly what's come to the fore. Maybe the last 5 to 7 years in Montana with DNRC's authority over new water rights.
Population growth has rapidly increased in the Gallatin Valley, which in turn has affected how water rights are approached.
Yeah, there, particularly here in Gallatin County, that experienced enormous growth over the last 10 years. About 5 to 7 years ago, we began working on securing water rights for major new developments in and about the area of the Gallatin. And for the first time, we applied a concept that first arose in Colorado back in the 80s. And that is, you have to account to the surface flow, surface water rights, for the depletive effects of your groundwater use. And the way you do that is quantify the depletive effect of your groundwater use. That is, what your groundwater use is causing the river to lose throughout the year. And that is a, both a hydrogeologic question and it's a hydrologic question, because the total depletive effect is only your pumping minus your discharge from your wastewater facilities. From that point, you go buy surface water rights in an amount that historically consumed quantities identical to what you're depleting. And you no longer divert that surface water right, so the Gallatin, in this instance, stays whole.
Supplementing a surface water loss with groundwater is a good idea if the groundwater body is truly not connected to the surface. The problem lies in how you define the degree of connection between these two types of water and where you draw the line. Matt told me that when a water resource is referred to as tributary waters, it means that the surface water body and groundwater are connected to each other.
Effectively, what the DNRC has said is all groundwater is tributary. Often, that requires one to indulge in friction. For example, some of the developments in and about Big Sky, the only resource available to them are fractured bedrock aquifers at 1,000 to 1,500 feet deep. And there is no practicable way, looking at the amount of data we have today, to determine where or how this manifests itself as flows in the Gallatin. One thing to do in those circumstances is to say, okay, we're just not going to count this as tributary or subject to surface water rights. That's not DNRC's position. So you end up having to express your depletion as your annual depletion divided by 12 to figure out the same constant depletion monthly throughout the year. So no, we don't have a concept as yet in Montana that talks about what's tributary and not tributary in any way, let alone time. I do note that the first expression talked about was how Colorado did it, the stream depletion factor that was enunciated by the USGS clear back in the mid-70s.
The change in the science of hydrology and hydrogeology has created a wrench in the workings when assigning water rights to surface water and groundwater. Matt Williams, his peers, and the Montana Department of Water Resources and Conservation are only beginning to see conflicts that are caused by this relationship. Crafting new water law terminology into historic Montana water law will likely require a stronger presence from water-related science disciplines like hydrogeology and hydrology. The complexity of Montana's geologic conditions and changing seasonal weather patterns are currently too unpredictable to accurately understand subsurface water connections at a local level. Montana water law must somehow work within these limitations and continue its pursuit of fair and balanced water right enforcement, fundamental to our lives and environment. I'm Steve Baker. This is Living Water.